When Arizona became a state in 1912, its farmers were already cultivating things like alfalfa, wheat, and vegetables. But cotton was particularly popular. Historian Tom Sheridan says our climate was perfect for growing long staple cotton used in industrial fabrics like tires.
The old cotton belt of the American South wasn't suitable because it was too humid. And so that's when the major tire companies like Goodyear and Dunlop triggered a boom in long staple cotton that was really astonishing.
Cotton acres are down. As a cotton farmer, I can tell you our acres have reduced some.
Kevin Rogers isn't just a cotton farmer. He's president of the Arizona Farm Bureau. He says even though the amount of land devoted to cotton farming is down, production is up because prices are up.
We're going through a stretch right now where it's a good time to be in the cotton business, and we're trying to find ways to sustain that as long as we can.
But Rogers is also a pragmatist. He knows that cotton, like other commodities, can go through wild price swings. So he'd better play it safe, even during the good times. That means putting off buying that new $500,000 cotton picker.
Some of us have been reluctant to jump out and buy the new machinery because the cotton market's up, because we know the cotton market's up now, but you know, 2 years from now, it could be back down to 70 cents a pound, and you really need closer to 80 cents to break even. And so those opportunities, when the market's up, you bank those for those years when it's down.
Ron Rayner is another of those cotton farmers, but he doesn't just grow it. He co-owns and manages a gin near Buckeye. And he pays attention to where the cotton he grows ends up. He points to a tag on the side of a nearby bale.
They'll both arrive at the Capcom warehouse at the same time. They'll get the bale and the information.
Explaining how he tracks it from the gin to the warehouse. Cotton farming, like everything else, has gone high tech.
See, the incoming moisture is about 6.4%. It's got an automatic feature, so it'll adjust it.
Ron Rayner has just finished his cotton harvest and has already replanted his fields with durum wheat. Now he's spending a lot of time at the gin. That's where cotton lint is separated from seed, then cleaned and pressed into bales for shipping to a textile mill. Rayner is a third-generation cotton farmer who says he's still very close to his roots. He grew up on the land he farms. In fact, every day he drives past the spot where, as a boy, he caught the school bus. Today, Rayner makes his living growing several different crops, allowing him to ride out some of the volatility of the cotton markets. But the industry seems to be losing ground, literally. And it's only partially because of development swallowing farmland.
It takes a lot of infrastructure to handle the crop. And you think about it, it takes harvest equipment on the part of the growers and any specialized planting equipment and that sort of thing. But then the availability of cotton ginning equipment. We generally see that once a cotton gin is closed, and the equipment is sold off to an underdeveloped country or sold for scrap, they'll usually never come back. This year even, we're seeing some facilities, the capabilities being taxed because all of a sudden there's an influx of cotton and the processing capacity had shrunk quite a bit. So now there's going to be some delays in getting the cotton gin because of just limits on harvest capacity.
Cotton gin's a gin, out the pen is full of pound, like a giant vacuum cleaner sucking lean upon the ground.
Billy Joe Shaver accurately describing the sound of a cotton gin, like a giant vacuum cleaner.
When Jesus was our savior and cotton was our king.
You know, the role of a little processing facility like this in the economy, local economy. You know, we have seven guys on each shift, and plus the manager. You can see the number of trucks and other things running around, and it's all part of the grand scheme of things that makes the economy go.
Agriculture is over a $10 billion business right now, and that's even larger than our copper industry.
Kevin Rogers.
Even though our acres of production is smaller, we're not quite as visible as we were 30 years ago because 30, 40 years ago, everybody's grandpa did have a farm. Technology's allowed us to produce more on less acres.
But technology can only go so far in a land where it's difficult to grow anything, particularly cotton.
In other parts of the country where they rely on rain, they don't have to spend that $200 an acre on water that we have to spend. And so that $200 an acre can put us out of the market.
Even with such challenges, both Rogers and Rayner say they'll continue to farm cotton. After all, they have the equipment and the knowledge.
But the question is it going to be 80% of your farmland, or is it going to be, you know, 30% of your farmland? And price is going to drive that, and world demand affects that for us.
As of today, Arizona's cotton industry is thriving, even with less acreage under production. So it continues to be one of the state's major economic forces and a way of life for the farmers who grow it. Over the years, that fluffy white crop that goes into everything from t-shirts to tires.
It's been a good, successful business, but it's our cotton.